This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 189. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. That was a really tame, almost lame intro.
Can't all be winners. Did you watch some stuff and things?
I did. Not a lot, but
cool.
I mostly enjoyed my vacation and enjoyed the feelings that, you know, I didn't have to go anywhere. I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
I just kind of lived my life.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I had a half day on Wednesday last week.
Yeah.
Because the day closed at noon. And then I was off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice. Went to wrestling on Friday night. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday, we took the boy, the little one, the four-year-old, down to Portland to see Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the musical, live.
What do you think about that?
He loved it. It was great. We went to the Portland Players Theater. It's a nice little theater down South Portland. Parking sucks. You have to park on the street. But we got there early enough, so we actually got a nice parking spot. But otherwise, the theater's nice. Seats are comfortable. They put on a good show. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Anywho.
So, yeah, that was my vacation.
Huh?
I said, so, yeah, that was my vacation.
With the time off there, I did watch actually quite a bit of stuff, more than I thought.
Really?
I mean, we took in the whole Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade on that Thursday morning.
Why?
I like the parade.
Okay.
Kind of watch it on and off. I don't, like, sit there and give it my full uninvited attention, but, you know, it's still good. Well, you know, the singers lip sync, but that's to be expected.
Of course it is.
A lot of shows weren't on this week, though.
Correct. Yeah, when I went to make my notes.
There was a lot. I don't have a list.
There were a lot of empty spaces.
Yeah, so there's a lot of shows that weren't on this week. But I know this was a last week show, but I did watch Stumptown.
Oh, good.
That episode with Eliza Coop.
Which was a really good episode.
Yeah, that was a good episode. I was surprised, though, because in the end, like, it wasn't the happy ending where the good guy who looks to be the best candidate for the job is going to get it, and the other person, no, gets his come up. No, like, the good guy who's, like, the best candidate for the job, like, has to resign or else the scandal and of him having a child. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was surprised by the ending.
Yeah. But it still, it worked out well.
Yeah, it was not a happy ending.
No, but that show doesn't really, like, thrive on happy endings.
It doesn't,
endings.
No.
It's,
It's like going to Friendsgiving and you have all the tension there between Dex and Gray, who each brought their boyfriend slash girlfriend, and then the other one seemed to have a problem with it.
I like Gray's girlfriend, except for the fact that, you know, in the course of one episode, she basically did a 180 and was like, let's just keep this professional.
Yeah, that was weird.
So it almost feels like she basically just wanted the job to begin with, except not really. I think she was just like, well, I want the job more than I want your dong.
Yeah, and I felt – I kept waiting for, like, her to be some – I keep waiting for her to be some sort of foil for Dex for some reason,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
yeah. It was decent. The Good Doctor?
Yeah.
That was on.
So this week, Sean was ready to have the sex.
Yeah, I don't even care about that storyline.
Yeah, it's really getting annoying.
It is getting old.
Like, I like, though, that Blonde Doctor finally said what we were both thinking, and she's like, you know, somebody like you in a relationship with somebody like Sean, it's kind of like you're looking for a fixer-upper type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a project. And
then, you know, she was like, well, if that's how you think of Sean, maybe you should. Sean's a nice guy, and he comes down and helps me out and gives an example as to why he's a nice guy and why she likes him. And, you know, maybe you're the problem is basically what she says.
Right.
Yeah. Classic misdirection. So, however, Claire sleeps with a married guy. Of course, he gets in a car motorcycle accident and shows up at her hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some, like, you know, weird shit going on. His wife and child show up.
Yep.
Claire, you know, she finds out that Claire slept with him, so the wife slaps Claire in the face and she runs away.
Yeah, and Claire kind of sort of basically, like, she was looking for it.
Yeah.
You know, she was looking for something, like, where he was married and there wouldn't be any kind of commitment or...
Well, that's what he implies. He's like, I saw you looking for my wedding ring. You wanted me to be married.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was weird that the, was it Melendez is the one that went down to comfort her in the stairwell?
Yeah, that was kind of odd.
And then again, Melendez and Lim's relationship, I don't care about at all.
Nope. Yeah. Sean going to, what's his name there for
Glassman.
Advice? Glassman. Yeah. I wanted to say Goldman. Yeah, going to Glassman for advice. And, you know, his wife kicks him out. And she's like, you've got to run the clinic and you've got to, like, push Sean away because, you know, you've got... business to run here.
And then, of course, later, no, he needs you now because, you know, his dad's got pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
His family, I feel like
he never talks to.
I feel like a lot of these episodes were like the fall finales.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, off for a couple weeks or something. I mean, like, we got the This Is Us fall finale, the mm-hmm. New Amsterdam fall finale, The Good Doctor. I believe that was the fall finale. The Good Place fall finale. I don't know if that was Scold's fall finale or not.
It felt like it.
Seemed it. I know with Perfect Harmony, they're off for a couple weeks, but they're back mm-hmm. on, like, December 12th.
Right.
This was the Thanks-taking one. I think, that was the week before, but I hadn't watched it.
Right.
I did watch it in the interim, and it was funny.
It was it?
Yeah. It was a good episode.
Yeah, that creepy pastor guy who watches over the church. He's got some sticky fingers there.
Well, he stole to try and get Arthur to hang out with them.
Right.
Yeah. He had ulterior motives. So. Like The Rookie, though, that wasn't on. I don't know if we got the fall finale with last week's episode or, you know, his birthday when he was at the hotel.
Yeah. I thought it was just on this past Sunday. Maybe we didn't get one the week before, but this past Sunday, which was
on
yesterday.
Sorry, it was on yesterday.
Yes.
That's right. It was on last night.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but we didn't have one to talk. We didn't have one from the previous week, though.
Right.
It wasn't on the Sunday prior. I'm not going to catch up on Emergence probably now. I'm three episodes back. Is it worth watching?
I'm not sold on it.
Okay. I'm probably just going to put that one to bed then.
I'll tell you this. I haven't watched the most recent one because I knew that you were at least one or two behind, so I didn't want to get too far ahead. But the one right before that, it was revealed that the actual mastermind behind all of this and the evil genius was the woman that they put in witness protection. Yeah, the one who's frantic and really? Was like, I don't like being cut off from the world. Yeah, she's actually the bad guy.
The one that led us to believe that she wasn't the bad guy is the bad guy.
And you know why?
Classic misdirection. What?
Oh, it's even more classic. What's you know that? Why?
Why?
Because she's Terry O'Quinn's daughter. Oh. Dun, dun, dun!
Yep, that was lame.
Yep.
I informed my wife how Manifest is coming back, and she is just as excited as we are, but then did ask if we're going to watch it together again.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I told her that's the plan.
Yep.
Is it on Mondays?
I believe so.
That would be convenient.
Mondays, yeah.
Because if it is on Mondays, you can come over, we could start recording, hit a pause, go watch the crap show, come back, shit on it, and then continue on.
Yep.
I mean, that could be a great plan.
It could.
I did watch The Flash.
Oh.
I watched The Last Temptation of Barry Allen, Part 1.
Not a bad episode, actually.
It really wasn't. I did not watch Supergirl, Batwoman, or Arrow.
Arrow was on, but the other two weren't.
Okay, I didn't even bother to go back and watch. I've decided I'm just not going to.
I assumed you weren't.
Yeah. But, again, I will watch, well, when Crisis on Infinity Earths comes on, I'll be watching the episodes then. No doubt about it. No, this was good. This was good. Rosso drains Ralph's blood from him after a little confrontation.
In a very interesting way. There's a, and I'm going to relate this to a game again, but there was a game series called Prototype that reminds me a lot of this, where somebody was infected by a virus, and in the first game you're Alex Mercer, and in the second game the virus is called the Mercer virus.
Oh!
Because it turns out that he's the one that actually worked on it and then released it. But it's the same kind of thing. Like, if you were to watch Prototype in action, you'd go, this is fucking his character from The Flash.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, you can grow your arms into claws and stuff, like Carnage. Think Carnage or Venom. But the same kind of thing where you can lash out and then infect people with the cells. So it reminds me a lot of that, especially this episode where he got Ralph. And
what I don't like about the character Bloodwork, other than the name is Bloodwork, which is...
It's terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Is his the fact that, like, he's got black eyes and black teeth and veiny. Like, it's just,
and then everybody else who he infects becomes the same way.
Yeah.
Like, black ooze coming out of their mouth. Like, it's wouldn't they want to keep all that in them?
You would think. Yeah. It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's to show they're infected. Yeah, it's still dumb. So Barry's giving Ralph a blood transfusion to help use his, you know, hopefully his speed healing will help save his life.
Right.
And, of course, a little microbe of Rosso's blood worked its way up the tube into Flash.
Because that's not how blood works. A blood transfusion is one direction.
It's a one-way street, yeah. Anyways. The whole episode is essentially... not the whole episode. The majority of the episode is in Barry's mind, where the infection is taking over. And you have Rosso trying to... Basically, it's a Jedi. He's trying to bring Barry to the dark side, and the Speed Force is trying to keep Barry in the light.
The Speed Force as his mother.
In the form of his mother. And basically, they're both showing Barry how things are, how things could be, how things could be better. Basically, just trying to lure him back and forth.
And he paints a pretty good picture by saying, you know, you put my blood in you, and you could actually save it. Look, you could save that woman's life. You could bring her back to life, because she's dead. You couldn't get to her in time.
But the whole thing is, like, with Barry, it's just like, okay. It pissed me off that in the end, Barry succumbed to the temptation. Get it? The last temptation of Barry Allen.
Yep.
Succumbed to the temptation of Rosso's blood to help people. Because he should know by now that you can't make deals like that. Like, that things don't work that way.
Right.
He's a bad guy. He's not really a good guy or misunderstood. He tried to kill Ralph.
Yep.
He's a piece of shit. Do not trust him.
The end.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, and so that kind of annoyed me. The other story we got was Iris, Camille, and Allegra. I don't know which one's who. Is Camille the...
You know which one Iris is, I assume.
Yeah, I know Iris. Is Camille the is Allegra the
yes
powers the girl, the ultraviolet girl? Okay, yeah. So I love that Allegra figures out that, you know, well, gets told by the new Wells that Barry's the Flash.
Yeah,
and then she alludes to it through the whole episode, and then finally, like, just confronts Iris and says, "Why weren't you going to tell me Barry's the Flash?" You know, and then she's like, "Oh, well, my excuses is this," and then later on, maybe this is something your husband's friend can help with. And Iris, Camila knows that Barry's the Flash. Yeah. What? Like, I did find that to be kind of hilarious.
Come on. Why are Camille's I like, to know?
Yeah, I used to date Cisco. He was Vibe.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
You know what I mean? Like, he's Vibe.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you saw that one at least. It was a good...
I did enjoy the episode. I mean,
It's getting us set up for Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Right, and I'll watch part two tomorrow. Well, after tomorrow when it's on the CW app, and then the third, that is. And then, you know, obviously, starting next Sunday, we got Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Yeah.
And I'm all done school this Sunday.
Awesome.
So I'll have like a good month off without classes, and I'm really looking forward to that. And then I only have 16 weeks and I graduate.
You're going to be a classless guy.
Yep, pretty much. I mean, just like normal. But I'm looking forward to having that no schoolwork time back.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I am. I didn't watch any other regular weekly TV shows. I got a new show. Well, obviously, other than The Mandalorian and Mr. Robot.
Right.
I watched a couple of movies, and I got a couple new shows.
I watched the Arrow episode was a time loop kind of thing. Basically, the monitor is trying to teach Oliver a lesson that, you know, no matter what, things are in motion, they're going to happen. You can't change them. Stop trying to change what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And it was basically watching Captain Lance die and not being able to help him and over again. I actually went back to Prodigal Son because my sister's been watching it. And she was like, just stick with it. And it's gotten better. I will say that.
Yeah.
They're focusing more on the crimes. There's less of the drama of his dad. His mom's becoming a more interesting character because basically sounds like she kind of knew everything that was going on.
Oh, I assume that, yeah.
She wasn't the mastermind of it, but she was like intervening to protect people and to keep things hidden because, yeah. It's gotten better. Like I said, I didn't watch Emergence. Watchmen. Still a good show.
Yeah, I just don't really have a way to watch it, really.
This week's episode was The History of Hooded Justice,
mm-hmm.
one of the heroes from back in the day of the Minutemen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because it did a cold open on an FBI interrogation of a guy who was wearing a hood with eye holes, and he was wearing a noose around his neck. And they were like, all right, Hooded Justice, we know, blah, blah, blah. And they were basically shaking him down because they said that, you know, you and your gay lover, so-and-so, I can't even remember what his name was. We know that you're lovers and we've got pictures of that. We're going to expose it because, you know, you guys are trying to say that Director Hoover is like that. And he's not like that. He's not one of you people. So take off your mask and we're going to take a picture and, you know, doctor it up. And so he does. And it's just some nondescript white guy and he beats the crap out of them. And that was like, I guess that was supposed to be like the publicity type thing. You know, this is what we did. Captain America's on the march to stop the Nazis kind of thing. But it turns out that the real Hooded Justice was actually the first episode. You remember when you watched it?
Yes.
The little kid that got sent away.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, his parents sent him away because of the bombings. He was Hooded Justice. He grew up to be Hooded Justice. And to fool everybody, he would put white paint around his eyes so that the eye holes in his mask made it look like he was a white guy underneath.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So it was cool. I also watched the first episode of His Dark Materials, that HBO one, which is like 4 or 5 episodes in now. The Golden Compass was the movie. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's a little deep. Lot of terminology in the first episode, you know, talking about it's a very religious place and, you know, they're talking about how, look, dust is attracted to adults, but it's not attracted to children and there's multiverse out there. And so I'm very interested in where the story is going to go, but I feel like the first episode was a lot of setup, so it kind of wasn't that great. You know, I liked it when Carnival Row basically threw us into the middle of it. Like, this is the world, deal with it. And then, like, it took a couple episodes before they started giving us some of the backstory. I kind of like that now, rather than these episodes that are like, okay, now let's set up the whole world in the first episode.
Yep.
It's a little annoying. Other than that, I just watched some couple of shows on Netflix.
Well, the wife and I checked out the first 2 episodes of Merry, Happy, Whatever.
Mm.
Did you watch that at all?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
But I've added it to my list because it kept showing up.
So it's 8 episodes. So okay. Dennis Quaid's so essentially it is Dennis Quaid is a local sheriff, I guess, in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and he's the patriarch of the Quinn family. And then you have his 2 daughters and his son.
Mm-hmm.
And then their in-laws. Sorry, hold on. I guess technically 3 daughters and son, and then the in-laws. And mom died 3 years ago, apparently. And essentially, it's okay. So there's a laugh track to it,
mm-hmm.
which is annoying.
Oh,
when
I don't like laugh tracks.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not in front of a live studio audience. So it's a laugh track that they, you know, they put it where they want you to laugh. And sometimes the laughs are actually funny. But it sucks when they're not, you know?
Yeah.
And this had the stigma of they did a pilot, and it's almost like they tried too hard in the pilot, which doesn't make sense seeing how it was picked up for as a Netflix show.
Right.
But essentially, it's Christmas time, and youngest daughter and new boyfriend come back for Christmas. He asks for his for the daughter's hand in marriage. Dad says no. So now he's got to prove himself to dad.
Does he sing that song?
No. So, but he is a singer. That's one of his problems.
I don't like that song.
What song?
You know that song, I'm going to marry her anyway.
Oh, no. But it's... Essentially, you have the in-laws who the people, like, they have this little... We have the support group for the people that married into the Quinn family. Ha, 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 ha. Because, like, they're always together. They're together all the time. And they have all these traditions that they do. And it's just... It's like an overbearingly close family.
Okay.
And everyone's, like, afraid to tell dad the truth about things and on and on and on. So, like, I'm not saying I disliked it. I'll finish the other six episodes because they're a non-threatening 25 minutes apiece.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But I wasn't blown away.
Okay.
But I'll finish it.
That's good.
Yeah. What did you watch?
I watched all of season 3 of Big Mouth.
Oh, how was that?
God damn, that show was good.
Yeah, I gotta catch up on that.
They had some very specific episodes. Like the last one was called Super Big Mouth, yep. The last episode of the season, and everybody had superpowers.
Nice.
And they had one episode that was Duke Ellington there, the ghost that lives in the attic.
Yes.
We got to see his origin story. Not how he became a ghost, but him growing up as a boy and him going through puberty.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And it was cool because they still had the original theme song. Did
he have his own puberty monster?
No, it was okay. Still Maurice. But Maurice looked different because this was years ago. But they did the theme song, but they did it in like old-timey ragtime music. And the thing was like black and white. Yeah. And cool. They did one episode. I had heard about this because I listened to that podcast, How Did This Get Made? And they had Nick Kroll on as a guest, and they said, what do you want us to do for a movie? And he said, oh, Disclosure, the Demi Moore, Michael Douglas episode. Yeah, the movie where she, like, accuses him of sexual harassment, and everyone was like, men can't, or no.
No, he accuses her yeah. Because she forcibly gives him head.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, the reason that Nick Kroll wanted to do that was because one of the episodes of Big Mouth this season featured the kids doing a musical version of Disclosure for their school play. It was so good. They created original songs and everything. It was so good, dude. The show's genius. There's more stuff going on with puberty. There's two or three episodes in a row where the main kid there, he gets his sister's hand-me-down phone because it's new phone day. So everybody gets a new phone where, you know, dad gets a new phone. So he hands his old one to mom who hands it to the daughter.
Right,
you know.
Right.
So Nick gets his sister's phone, and the phone talks to him all the time, and it's Chelsea Peretti's voice, and she's just great. You know, she'd be like, oh, they're basically having a relationship. You know, she'd be like, oh, you want me to show you some nasty stuff on the internet? And he's like, oh, yeah, show me all that nasty stuff. It's friggin' great. so I really, really like the show. They do a lot in this one with sexuality. Jay is trying to figure out if he's gay, if he's bi. He spends most of the season trying to work that out and figure out what it is, you know, because he seems to be attracted to just about everything. Of course, this is the kid who's been humping a couch pillow. And,
right, right.
Yeah, so
it happens.
Yeah. Loved it. I also watched the first three episodes of season 2 of The End of the Fucking World.
How was that?
Interesting.
That's it, huh?
Well, I can't really give away too much because they give you a recap because you remember the first season.
Yes.
And it was kind of messed up anyway.
Yeah, it was odd.
And they went to that guy's house and he turned out to be a real creep. And,
yeah.
You know, they stabbed him in the neck and he bled out in a very gory fashion. Mm-hmm. And very realistic. And then they were running down the beach and there was a gunshot.
Yeah.
So they pick up kind of like right there, but then they do the whole, you know, time has passed and she's still fucked up.
Yep.
But now we get a new character. They spend one whole episode showing her as a child, and she's pretty fucked up, too. It's still an interesting show, and I'd still recommend. I don't want to give too much away because it's still pretty new. But
all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was all the TV that I watched, other than, like you said,
right.
The Mandalorian and Mr. Robot.
So, apparently Wesley and Kate watched Home Alone on Friday night while I was at wrestling, apparently. And so Saturday, when Kate was out running some errands or whatever, Wesley says, "Can we watch Home Alone?" And I was like, I didn't know they had watched it the day before. And I was like, sure. So it's on Disney Plus. So we fired up Home Alone. Oh, I saw Turner and Hooch is on Disney Plus. I haven't seen that in so long. I'm excited to watch that.
Except for like the end, you know.
Well, whatever. So, no, there's still a happy ending. There's puppies. So we're watching Home Alone and we watch it and he loved it. I hadn't watched it in such a long time. And it's funny because we're watching the beginning. Kate didn't realize, she hasn't watched it since she was a kid, so she didn't realize that, like, Joe Pesci was playing the cop at the beginning of the episode, casing the house.
Yeah.
You know? But I hadn't seen the movie in years either, and they actually really did a good job making you understand how he kind of got forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of do a good job explaining it.
Yep.
Well, after that, we stumbled across the Movies That Made Us on Netflix. Like, we switched right over to Netflix,
yep.
And that's the first thing that popped up, and it was the Home Alone episode. Because they did four episodes this season. Home Alone, Die Hard, Ghostbusters, and Dirty Dancing.
I gotta check that out.
Oh, so we watched the Home Alone episode. I won't give anything away. It's awesome. I mean, it's, you know how funny the Toys That Made Us was?
Speaking of which, I will say that I did watch all of this season, so we could talk about that.
Oh, good. I haven't watched My Little Pony yet.
Okay.
I'm just not excited to.
Okay.
Maybe you
can... It's really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, you know how funny the Toys That Made Us are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Movies That Made Us is funny as well. And they do a great job of, like, taking clips from other movies and cutting in, like, little sound bites, but making it work, making it make sense. I mean, Kate and I actually laughed quite a bit while watching it. But the Home Alone one's fantastic. Because it really it gives you a great detail on the making of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I won't say anything else because I want you to watch it.
Yeah.
Then we watched the Dirty Dancing one right after.
Oh, okay.
That was fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was like, well, now we got to watch Ghostbusters and Die Hard at some point. Kate's never seen Die Hard. And I was like, well,
it's a Christmas movie.
We got to watch Die Hard before we watch the movies that made us Die Hard.
Holy shit.
Yeah, wow. But Die Hard and Ghostbusters are the next two, so you know they're going to be good.
Of course they are.
Yeah. So I can't stress enough how fantastic those two episodes were.
Yeah.
And how much people should watch these.
I'm excited. I can't wait to see that.
It was they're really, 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 really cool.
I still love, a lot of times on Family Guy, the best parts are just the little side gags.
Yeah.
And they had one, you know, now back to Home Alone with competent robbers. And they like walk in and they're doing all this stuff. They're like, hey, be careful. There's some ice there. Yeah, I saw that. So I just went around a different set of stairs. Oh, and by the way, the doorknob's really hot. I touched it and it felt hot. So I took my hand off immediately. Like they're doing all this stuff. And then Kevin appears at the top of the stairs. He's like, you guys better watch out. I have a tarantula. And they just shoot him in the head. And he falls down. He goes, great. Now we have no witnesses. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, though I can't sell or hype or put over the Movies That Made Us.
That's awesome.
It's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. There's so many movies that they could do. So I'm very excited. Like, I hope they do a Monster Squad episode. Oh, that would be amazing if they did a Monster Squad.
You know they're going to do Back to the Future.
They have to.
The original.
They have to.
They might do the trilogy, but they have to at least
do the original. They have to do Back to the Future, yeah. So, so I kind of mussed around looking for movies to watch because...
Did you want to talk about The Toys That Made Us?
Oh, yeah, we can, actually.
I figured before we forget...
No. I had already forgotten, so yeah. Good thing.
The wrestling, I loved when you talked about that and the oversized figures.
Yes, that how that was an accident.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how basically wrestling figures came about because of that one fan guy who was just like, you know, we need to do this. And,
well, okay, isn't it hilarious, though, that it starts out with, okay, Remco's going to make the WWF figures. Yes. But then, you know, this other company, or Mattel, not Mattel.
LJN.
But, Kenner. Remco? Kenner, yes. Kenner then outbid Remco, this and that. And then the guy who was like, all right, so then he offered it to Paramount, who just bought LJN. Then LJ overbid Remco. And I like how they made the joke of, like, Yeah, then he came and outbid the guy. I mean, what a jerk. It cuts to the Kenner guy. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did the same thing.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And then eventually, so then Remco goes to AWA and does that line of figures.
Yep.
And then Kenner ends up with the first WCW line of figures. And then the guy that makes Kenner fig toys gets forced out of his own company.
I know. Wasn't that shitty?
Starts the original San Francisco Toy Makers and does the WCW figures for them again. And then when I think they did the WCW figures for a little while, they made fun of the vibrating ones, which they had to.
Yeah, but yeah.
And then they
sex toys.
Yeah. And then they got bought out, or their contract, WCW just didn't renew it. They went with Mattel.
Yeah.
So then they picked up the ECW figure line, you know.
The whole thing was like watching a wrestling match.
Yeah.
You know, people turning heel and then
double crosses. Yeah. And yeah, it was crazy.
He's
and
a then, face. He's a heel. No, look. You know, oh, my God. Off the top.
And then what was it? The company that. Oh, and then like the LJN had that line. And then I do like how they covered how LJN dropped the line. They went with Hasbro at the LJN. That last series got released by that company in Canada. And they didn't go into the Sergeant Slaughter one, where Hasbro made the one Sergeant Slaughter figure for the G.I. Joe toys.
Yes.
Mail away only with flag points. I had it.
And they probably didn't because they had already done G.I. Joe.
Yeah. So then you had that, you know, WWE was, they had the Hasbro made WWE figures for a while, and then there was no wrestling figures for a time. And then Jax picked up, and then Mattel.
Yep.
Who had WCW at one point, now has figures again. And Barbie, of course, and everything. So I thought it was fantastic. I thought they did a really good job on that.
Yes, I agree. I have to say, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one,
yeah,
was actually kind of sad in a number of places.
It was more of a history of like the Ninja Turtles themselves, not just the toys.
Yeah,
but like the story behind
Eastman and Laird.
Yeah, Eastman and Laird's story together.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
and it was tragic. Like, you know, best friends, roommates, and then, you know, Eastman just kind of got tired of it, and he was like, "Well, I let him buy out my stuff," and then, you know, and then at the end when they're both just sitting there drawing the figures, and they're like, "You know, sorry. Who's your favorite? No, who are you going to draw?" And he's like, "I don't remember."
And then they did each other's pencil and ink.
Yeah,
like they both didn't pencil, and the other each ink theirs.
That was great.
That was cool, the two of them together. But, yeah, I mean, that was kind of like a really – and then
– you're right, though. It was more about the Turtles because they also covered the movies.
Yes.
Although they did kind of tie in, oh, who was going to do the movies? They didn't have any toys for the first movie, and they're like, I don't know why we didn't have any toys for the first movie. And then they went overboard on the second movie, which kind of sucked. And yep. So,
and then they started making all those generic people that were never in the comics or never in the movies.
Oh, yeah. And some of them were just gross.
Yeah.
Like the guy with the giant nose gun that, like, fired out boogers and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
And then how many times did they have to keep going back and being like, so then they wanted a girl turtle. There'll never be a girl turtle. There's not going to be a girl turtle. What are you talking about? There's no girl turtle. Then, okay. So now they wanted to really bring in a girl turtle. No, we're not bringing in a girl turtle.
Then they had a – I did not – maybe it's because I was 20 at the time when it came out, or I don't know, but I have no memory of the live-action weekly show
they did. I don't either.
With the girl turtle, nope. Venus de Milo.
Nope, I don't either.
No, I did. I do remember they did a live touring show of the Ninja Turtles,
mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, the movies, you know, the original movie, and then I remember as a kid watching the first movie, and it was dark and violent, and it was awesome. And I remember the second movie, like, they're not using their weapons.
Yeah.
It's dumb. And then the third movie was just garbage. And then they actually make a point of saying, like in the second movie, hey, we got to tone down the violence, the darkness. But they can't be cutting people with swords and like.
Right.
It was, you know, by design that they toned down the violence.
But the thing is, the Turtles, in the comics at least, were ramping up the violence.
Yes.
Like you said, we killed the villain in the first issue because we didn't know that there was going to be another issue.
Yeah. They killed Shredder.
Then later on, they were like, we gave people what they wanted. Casey Jones, you know?
Yep.
The vigilante in a hockey mask. They wanted the violence. They wanted that gratuitousness. Yep. And yeah.
So it was interesting to see, you know, the figures, the play sets, everything they're doing. But yeah, it was definitely more of a history of the Ninja Turtles of Eastman and Laird than it was of the toys. But I do love the fact that LJN, Mattel, and Hasbro all rejected Ninja Turtles. And the Hong Kong-based Playmates picked them up.
Yeah. Yeah, to go to Japan, basically.
Well, Hong Kong's China, sir.
Sorry.
Yes. I'm just saying.
You're correct.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
I don't want people to think that we think they're all the same.
How dare you, sir?
So, Power Rangers. That was ho-hum.
It really was. And I know that that's probably blasphemous to Rude, but, you know, it was exactly what I expected.
Yeah.
You know, that basically they already had something like this in Japan, yeah, and that they just built off that.
And the only reason why they change the Power Rangers every year is to make new toys.
Yeah. Because they're a cash cow. That's exactly what they are.
And they're just like, oh, when we made the toys cars, people were like, these suck. So we had to go back to doing, like, something else.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were talking about the collectible stuff, like the dagger that, yeah, was, like, made out of solid gold. And they're, oh, like, yeah, people bought it. You know, there's collectors out there walking around buying this stuff. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with them?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, when you look at the wrestling figure, every other episode of The Toys That Made Us is about the toys and why people love the toys. And a lot of times, like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon was made to sell toys,
yes,
essentially. And that's the same thing we learned with G.I. Joe and Transformers and a lot of those other cartoons. The reason why they made the cartoons was it was an advertisement for the toys, which, yeah, made sense.
Exactly.
Power Rangers was done a little bit differently, but Power Rangers definitely more about, like, Ninja Turtles became, like, it seems like all these other toys became part of super fandom,
mm-hmm,
as far as the movie, the physical media.
Yes.
The cartoons, the movie, the comics, whatever it was. And the toys were a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with the primary focus of Power Rangers are the toys, and then the TV show is,
yeah,
is what it is.
And cycle out the people so that we can have new toys.
Yeah.
So that we never have any old actors, you know.
And then when you look at it that way, it's not like, oh, this isn't the progression of the story. They literally change actors, change the costumes, change the characters.
Change the villains.
Change the Zords, change everything so they can make and sell new toys.
Yeah.
So it's almost kind of like, that's shitty of you.
Yeah, that's, yeah, capitalistic.
Which, and I didn't realize that Walt Disney bought the Power Rangers and then sold it back to Saban.
Yeah, I like that when they were like, and they needed to find somebody to buy it, and Saban's like, it's me!
So, My Little Pony.
My Little Pony, it wasn't bad. Yep. They talked first about how the precursor to My Little Pony was My Pretty Pony.
Yep.
You didn't have any sisters, so you wouldn't know this. My sister had one of these. It stood about, you know, yay tall, maybe 13, 14 inches.
It was cousin Chrissy had one.
Yeah, it was a light brown, yes, and you could brush its hair, yes, and its tail. Yes. That was the precursor. That was the first toy that came out, and they were like, because girls are going to like horses.
Yeah.
Then they decided that they wanted them smaller, more like action figures. They had a really funny thing where the first batch of them, they had six of them, that when you set them down, they immediately tipped over because their heads were too heavy. So they had to find ways to, like, make them more balanced. And then they talked about the woman who they brought in who was actually just a fan. And, like, she, from an early age, she loved ponies and she wanted... She was like, oh, use this for an idea. And then when they needed to reinvent the ponies, they brought her in and actually put her to work for them. And it was great. She is the one responsible for most of the ponies that exist nowadays.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll watch it because you seem to be giving it a good sell.
Yeah, it was definitely worth watching.
So just for curiosity, when you think of the toys that made us, you think 1980s, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for the most part, that's kind of what it's been. I mean, we've had 12 episodes.
Well, they're missing some, I think.
Well, that's what I just want to talk to you about. We've had Star Wars, Barbie, He-Man, G.I. Joe. And Barbie started in the 50s, yep, but still very popular.
Yep.
We had Star Trek, Transformers, Lego, which started a long time ago as well.
Yep.
And My Little Pony, my Even Hello Star Kitty.
Trek. Because, yeah, Star Trek started with the Mego figures, so.
Well, which... Okay, I was about to say, they haven't actually done Migos, but Migos is a brand, exactly, not a line. That's okay.
Yeah.
Hello Kitty.
Yep.
Again, that started in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And then Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, My Little Pony. And I like how it's just professional wrestling because it actually makes a lot of sense.
Right.
So what have they missed?
Two that I can think of off the top of my head. Thundercats.
Okay.
And Mask.
See, now, I thought about that as well, but I don't feel like either one of those hit the level of popularity as these others. Especially maybe not, Thundercats, but I don't think Mask did.
Well, Thundercats had a resurgence, don't forget.
Fair recently. Enough, yeah.
I'm looking at how many episodes of the TV shows they had, which you're going to look up now. But
yeah, I am.
you know, Mask was a big part for me. I remember it sitting on the shelves next to the Transformers. You know, this wasn't like a back end cap kind of toy. This was something that was front and center. You know, you had the gas station volcano playset, which who decided that they would put, anyway,
75 episodes of Mask.
That's a pretty decent chunk.
Two seasons, 75 episodes.
That's a pretty decent chunk of episodes. Dude, how is that only two seasons?
It aired from September 30th, 1985 to November 26th, 1986. So it literally aired for just over a year.
Wow, and they got 75 episodes 75, in there?
A total of 75 syndicated episodes over two seasons were broadcast from September 85 to November 86.
Wow!
The first season had 65 episodes.
Okay, that's
But the second season, whose theme centered around auto racing instead of crime fighting, lasts only 10 episodes.
Oh, never mind then. Yeah. And what about Thundercats? And you're going to have to, you know, be specific because there's the most recent anime version.
Yeah. The 2011 series. Yeah. Thundercats, 130 episodes over four seasons.
Okay.
That's significant.
Yep.
That's why I say I can actually see Thundercats.
Yep. But you know what else I need?
What?
Voltron.
See, again, Voltron was a great cartoon, but the toys. Look it up. Okay, but the toys.
Yep.
Voltron, 72 episodes.
Wow. That seemed longer, too.
But I don't know. See, the Voltron toys were limited.
True.
That's the thing, because this is the toys that made us, not the 80s cartoons we love. You know what toy I would actually be, wouldn't be surprised if they did? Muscle Men.
Really?
Oh, they're pretty popular.
Really?
I thought so. But then again, they didn't have the longevity. And that's the thing is, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, Muscle Men, none of them had the longevity of all these other toys.
Right.
So it's like, what could they do? Because they haven't done... They haven't done any, like, DC or Marvel superhero toys.
True.
So, I mean, they could do episodes that covered those, which would include most of the Migos.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if they did DC or if they did comic book toys, that could be a huge... I mean, you could do a whole season on comic book toys, practically, if you broke it down to, like, DC, Marvel, or just even did, you know, one episode of each, I guess.
So I just Googled what else should the toys that made us cover.
Okay.
And the headline from Inverse, from an interview with Eric Francisco, interview with whatever his name is, the creator. Creator Brian Volk-Weiss says that if they get renewed for season four, they will be covering at the very least Smurfs.
Okay.
Nerf.
Yep, that makes sense.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I mean the... There wasn't a big cartoon, but then again, this is not about cartoons. It's about toys.
There was a big cartoon.
That's why I said there wasn't a big cartoon.
Right. But this, it's not a toy in a traditional sense, but I could definitely see, you know, they had action figures that would be like a sword and a shield, you know?
Yeah.
Or, Ooh. He says, I don't know much about Nerf. I don't know D&D. The little research I've done into Strawberry Shortcake I find interesting.
Yep.
So I could see Strawberry Shortcake.
Yeah, my cousin loved Strawberry Shortcake when we were kids.
Season 4 has not been greenlit. We need everyone to watch and watch again. That's what Netflix cares about, as many eyes as possible. To get Season 4, we need everybody to watch all 12 episodes at least once. Should that happen, Season 4 would include... Oh, okay, so here... Smurfs, Nerf. I'd love to do a Dungeons and Dragons episode. I'd love to do fast food toys.
Oh, like the Happy McDonald's Meal toys. Yeah.
Matchbox.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How has that not been done?
Yeah, that is.
And
yeah.
I knew there was one that I was forgetting. Something that divided the nation, that destroyed friendships, the original Black Friday Crusher.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
I think they've done documentaries to death on those.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
But yeah,
but this is still the toys that made us.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. So there's stuff out there, because if you do Cabbage Patch Kids, you can segue a little bit into Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah.
The cards. And everything.
Oh, I bet you they would too.
So Dungeons and Dragons, the cartoon, lasted three seasons.
It seems like it was shorter than that.
27 episodes.
Yeah. So like 9 And no, it was probably like the first season was 26 episodes, and then season 2 and 3 each had half an episode.
The first season was 13.
Yeah.
Second season was 8. And then the last season was 6.
And I'm certain that that's one of those shows that is so beautiful in my brain.
Oh, it's probably the shits now.
Yeah. I think I own it on DVD.
Probably.
Not even Blu-ray, DVD.
So, yeah, no, this is Toy Manus was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So I would like to see more of these.
Yep.
And I'm glad that I'm glad, first of all, that the movies that made us kind of snuck out of nowhere on us.
Yes.
But at the same time, I'm super glad they made that. And they have to do another season of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So everybody watch The Toys That Made Us. Or else we won't get a fourth season. All right, what else you got?
Well, I was just looking at this Ryan Volk Weiss.
Yep.
Okay. And he's been a producer and director and has his own company. And he's produced numerous stand-up specials and comedy albums. He's won some awards. He's done some – he got nominated in 2012 for a Grammy Award for Best Comedy Album for Weird Al Yankovic's Apocalypse.
Ooh, nice.
So he's done work with Weird Al, Jim Gaffigan, Bob Saget, Louis C.K., Lisa Lampanelli, Jerry Seinfeld, Sarah Silverman, Dave Chappelle, Patton Oswalt, Fred Armisen, and Chris Rock on all their comedy albums.
Nice.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, let's see. He's done a bunch of movies, been a producer in a bunch of movies. And television shows. So, I mean, the guy knows his pop culture.
Mm-hmm. So. But he says he doesn't know anything about D&D. So.
Well, okay, fair enough.
He's got to do some research. Start researching now, buddy. Yeah. There's plenty of it out there.
All right.
So your movies.
Movies.
You got digging around for movies.
Yeah. I watched in two parts.
Oh.
I watched The Irishman.
Oh, wow.
The new Martin Scorsese flick with Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, Ray Romano.
The one that's been getting all kinds of talk, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
Because basically, like, it was, what was it? It was, like, up for awards, and people were like, no, it's a Netflix movie. It can't be. And
well, I started watching it, and
fell asleep.
Kind of. I started dozing off because I'm like, holy shit, it's 3.5 hours long. So, like, I was like, I'll just finish this tomorrow. There's some good parts in it. It wasn't a bad story. It didn't even actually... It didn't feel like it dragged to the point where I was just like, God, this is terrible. I wish it'd be over. It was more just along the lines of like, wow, this is longer than I thought. But I enjoyed it.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, if you like Goodfellas... You know, or Casino, or any other Scorsese flicks, you're probably like this. The one, I do want to shit on one part.
Oh, good.
It is the really cheesy reverse aging CGI they did on Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro. It just looked
bad. De-aging?
Yeah, the de-aging.
Yeah.
It just looked really bad. And there's a scene where it's clearly Robert De Niro beating up a guy, but he's also 70 years old. And so it was kind of really just weak sauce looking. And then Joe Pesci, I don't know if it was makeup or what it was, he looked like shit.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, Robert De Niro was actually 69, and Joe Pesci's 70, but I mean, they're born the same year. Just,
yeah.
But Joe Pesci looks 10 years old as Robert De Niro. Wow. Yeah. Kind of crazy.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. But it's interesting because it tells a kind of a... It's based on a true story. It's based on a 2004 book called I Heard You Paint Your House by Charles Brandt. Well, I heard you paint houses. Sorry, I heard you paint houses.
Still.
And that was a hitman term for shooting someone and their blood splatters on the wall.
This just popped up. Ha 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 ha. I'm just scrolling through, and this meme shows young Robert De Niro, and it says, when I started watching The Irishman, and then it shows old Robert De Niro, and says, when I finished The Irishman.
No, no, no. That's Robert De Niro from The Irishman when they de-aged him for a war scene.
So they're both Robert De Niro from The Irishman?
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, so it's based on this guy's book. Okay. That Robert De Niro plays Frank Sheeran, who's allegedly World War II veteran, mafia hitman, and a union guy. And he essentially says that he's the guy that killed Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, okay. It's an old claim?
Well, in fact, everything he said, if you Google it and you read about it, basically everything he said, the FBI is like, yeah, he's right. This is, yeah. Like, they've kind of proven that what he's saying is true. It's the most plausible, believable story.
Okay.
That they have. They just have no evidence other than his word. And it was one of those, like, he told the guy who was writing his life story that came out after he died.
Interesting.
But everything he said kind of makes sense.
Okay.
And it does line up with what happened, what they believe what happened. So.
All right.
So I watched that. Did you watch any movies?
I did. I watched three of them.
Oh, cool. What'd you watch for a movie?
I watched three of them.
Well, okay, how about name one that you watched for right now? Then because I watched three, so then I'll tell what I watched, and then we'll go back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want me to just name it? Because you said just
talk
name
about it. Name and talk about it.
And talk about it. Okay. Well, you got to be more specific there, my friend. I watched Anna and the Apocalypse.
Was it worth it?
It's not a bad movie.
No. That took way too long to answer.
Well, here's the thing.
As much as how excited we were to watch it.
Yep. I got to say, there's pluses and minuses, okay? Yep. The pluses, depending on how you look at it, it could be a plus or a minus. It's very British.
Yep. I like that.
It can be a good thing. The whole thing takes place inside of the school. So it's I guess there's a few parts that are like out in the neighborhood and stuff. But for the most part, this takes place entirely in the school.
Yep.
It takes a long time to get to any real zombie action.
Yep.
Like there's a lot of, I'd say a good 45 minutes before we actually see a zombie.
Jesus.
Most of these kids at the school have shit lives.
Yep.
You'd almost think that you were watching like a Degrassi kind of thing. Like it's not a happy, happy kids kind of thing.
Sure.
However, the songs are cool.
Yep.
They're all original. They're upbeat. There's some cool stories with, like, the zombies behave a little bit differently. They see, like, there's one scene where they distract them by turning on a TV, and then they crawl away from them, because apparently they're out of eyesight by being down at knee level. But there is a lot of blood and gore, a lot of murdering.
Okay.
I recommend giving it a watch. It was definitely not a bad movie. But I think I had it so hyped in my head that it couldn't have lived up to it, unfortunately. I've been waiting for it for so long and trying to find it. And now that I finally watched it, I was like, eh. But definitely, it's available on Hulu and Amazon Prime for free. Yeah. So check it out.
Okay. I watched another Netflix original movie. Dolomite Is My Name.
How is it?
I loved it.
Oh, good. I wanted to love it.
I really did. First of all, listen to Eddie Murphy say fuck.
Take it right back to Raw.
Okay. As a kid, I had Eddie Murphy Raw on cassette, and I would listen to it at night in bed when I was way too young to listen to something like that.
Yep.
And I would laugh and with headphones on in my Walkman, and I would laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh.
I had it on VHS, so I know what you mean.
I just, you know, like the, and you know what the bitch says, Goonie Goo Hoo. What the fuck is Goonie Goo Hoo? You know what I mean? Like,
doesn't he use that again in Coming to America?
Oh, he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
half of his shit from Raw is in Coming to America.
It's just
ain't no Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
Ain't no Wonder Bread in McDonald's.
But it was just one of those things where it's just like, because growing up listening to Raw, you know, Beverly Hills Cop, Coming to America.
The original Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, 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 the first one. Coming to America, 48 Hours.
Oh, yeah.
Even another 48 Hours. Eddie Murphy.
Trading Places.
Yeah, Not so much in that one, but he was awesome in it. But, yeah. like, you know, fuck. And then you see him in, like...
The Nutty Professor.
The Nutty Professor and the Clumps. And, like...
Dr. Doolittle.
All these PG-13 movies yeah. and everything. I mean, this is his first R-rated film since he did Life with Martin Lawrence.
Which I didn't like that
which
much.
Which was okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this was fantastic.
Oh, good. I saw the preview and I really wanted to like it.
I mean, but here's the thing. It's very 70s-ish as far as like he plays Rudy Ray Moore, who was like the godfather of rapping,
okay.
of how he would do things. And that can be a little rough to get through if you're not a fan of rapping.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not rapping like the traditional sense like we grew up listening to rap like with Dr. Dre or Snoop Dogg or whatever in the 90s, 80s, NWA. It's more like it's more like a 1970s rap version of Michael Myers from So I Married an Axe Murderer. She was a thief. You got a belief. She stole my cat and my heart.
Yeah.
You know, it's more... But except it's lots of F this, F that, you know, it was great though. I really enjoyed it. Like I was very surprised how much I enjoyed it. Cause it was one of those things like, oh, I really want to watch this Eddie Murphy movie cause it's Eddie Murphy. So yeah, I
awesome.
I give it a good sell.
Good. That's much better than my sell on Alien the Apocalypse.
Oh yeah. Here's the other thing. It made me watch because, like, okay, so it's a biopic about Rudy Ray Moore, and the movie's called Dolomite Is My Name because Rudy Ray Moore had this character named Dolomite, and he made a movie in the 70s called Dolomite. And so they kind of show them filming the movie Dolomite in
so
this
you went
movie.
And watched Dolomite.
So yeah, I did. So I could see like the how like if it was really as bad as it looked in the movie in Dolomite Is My Name, if the movie Dolomite really kind of looked that bad, and. It's fantastic. It's like cheesy. It's funny, but it's not supposed to be funny, I think, but it is. And it's just, I see why it was such a popular movie. It's so wacky, kind of out there, kind of neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is a great flick. And if this is a precursor to what we're going to see in Coming to America 2 and Beverly Hills Cop 4, then I'm for it. Sincerely,
Eddie Murphy
I am,
being Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, and I guess this really inspired Eddie Murphy to kind of want to make a come back to doing stand-up comedy.
Nice.
Which would be awesome because until he did all the Disney movies, Nutty Professor and the Clumps and on and on and on, and Dr. Doolittle, he was known for his Saturday Night Live, you know, comedy, his Eddie Murphy Raw. What was the other Sam special he did?
Oh, Jesus. You would have to ask that.
Sorry. But, you know, it was just... Because one was the
Delirious.
Delirious, okay, yeah. But yeah, 48 Hours, Trading Places, like you said. You know, Beverly Hills Cop, Coming to America. I mean, like I said, another 48 Hours. I mean, all really great
Even
flicks.
His Saturday Night Live characters were edgier than what he was doing in his
yes.
movies recently.
Yes,
you know, Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood or playing Buckwheat
yeah.
or playing James Brown. Like, those were edgier roles than friggin' Norbit.
Yeah. Oh, Boomerang. The Distinguished Gentleman was actually even good. Yes. Harlem Nights.
Yep.
That was excellent. I mean, he did a lot of good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then he did Vampire in Brooklyn. And even though Wes Craven directed it, it was still
terrible.
The shits. And then he did The Nutty Professor.
Mm.
And, you know, Mulan and Dr. Doolittle and Holy Man and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I was excited to see this. And I'm looking forward to Coming to America 2.
I'm so glad that it went well.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you singing?
It's the Beverly Hills Cop theme. So what's another movie you watched?
I watched Shazam.
Oh yeah, how was that?
That was great.
Was it really?
It really was. Nice. Honestly, like
Zachary Levi, not surprised.
Yeah, it was a great origin story because. You don't often get an origin story for a 14-year-old boy yep. getting superpowers.
Right.
You know, and that's the story of this. It actually, like, the opening scene of the movie is setting up the villain, because it's Mark Strong when he's a kid, and his dad and his brother are a couple of assholes, and they're just treating him like shit, sitting in the back of a car. And he suddenly gets summoned by the wizard, and the wizard's like, we're looking for someone who's pure of heart, who can help. He says, all the other wizards are dead. I'm the last of my kind. I need somebody to inherit my power to protect the world from the seven deadly sins. And there are seven statues there. And he reaches in, tries to touch the orb, and gets shocked. And he's like, nope, only those with a pure heart. So he sends him back to the car. And he's back in hell with his dad and his brother. And he's like, no, I can do better. So he basically makes it his life's work to figure out what's going on with this. You know, he keeps tracking down other people who have had this happen to them, who have been summoned by the wizard and not made it, and trying to make their stories match up. And it was just great. You know, 14-year-old kid who gets superpowers and becomes the size of a man, you know, and of course the first thing that he wants to do is buy beer. Next thing he wants to do is go to a strip club. It's really funny because, like, his buddy there with the crutch, who actually is one of the coolest characters in the movie, you know, he's standing outside the strip club and he's like, God, how long can it take him? And Zach Levi comes out and he's like, hey, I need more money. He goes, what? You went in there with all the money that we had? He goes, they're very convincing. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was great. I really do recommend it. It has some very good messages, family, friendship. Yeah.
Did you rent it or watch
it? No, it was on HBO.
It's on HBO.
Yep.
So I was in the mood to watch. I haven't watched one in a very long time.
Porno?
No. It's, no. Kind of like a good Hong Kong action flick story type thing. Yeah, I enjoy those films.
Yeah.
And so I just literally Googled like the 2019 best Hong Kong flick, because I don't know. Because this is my problem. This is what happens. I get stuck searching through Netflix trying to figure out what I want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse than going at the video store, because I can actually turn it on for a few minutes, watch, and go, oh, fuck this. Right. The next thing, I've just wasted like an hour or an hour and a half trying to find something to watch,
yep.
Especially when I want to watch a movie and not a TV show, you know?
Yep.
And then, again, they have all these cool looking, oh, this looks like a good like Hong Kong flick, and then it's not.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, you know, I got to figure out like a new system of movies that I want to watch, and just like have a list, and not like the Netflix list where you, but like, so anyways, I Googled like, you know, the best Hong Kong flick from 2019, and it came up with this movie called Project Gutenberg.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, it was up for like 17 awards at the Hong Kong Film Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And it won a bunch of awards, including Best Film, Best Director, Best Screenplay, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, all right, so who's this director? And it's Felix Chong. And he wrote and directed Infernal Affairs 1, 2, and 3, which got made into The Departed, which everyone loves The Departed.
Right.
And he even got a writing credit for that. And he did a couple of the movies. I was like, oh, okay, so I'll check this out. Essentially, it stars Chow Yun-Fat.
Yep.
Which is another positive for it. And Aaron Kwok, who he was solid.
Okay.
And it's essentially about this counterfeit artist who gets mixed up with this guy called the Painter. And they try to – and I think the movie takes place in the 1990s from what it looks like. And it's essentially about this guy called – who they call the Painter, Chow Yun-Fat's character, who is a counterfeit artist. And he puts his team together to try to counterfeit the new American $100 bill that's coming out. And it's the story of them doing that. And then there's lots of violence along the way. And it's a really good story. It's a really well-crafted story. And the movie itself was great. And there's a lot of action. There's a lot of gunplay. There's a lot of there's a great twist. And I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Nice.
I watched it on Amazon Prime, too. It was on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime rocks.
So, anyways, I give that one a good sell if you're looking for a good flick.
Yep.
Excuse me, please.
You are excused, sir.
So then, going back to my list real quick.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? I think I need to start watching some classic films I've never seen.
Okay. Are you talking AFI Top 100?
Yes, exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where it's like, for instance, Citizen Kane. I've seen that. So maybe I'll skip that one for now. but basically decide, like, you know what, this Saturday night I'm going to watch this movie, and then or I want to watch this movie and find it to watch it.
Sure.
Type of thing, you know, like, I haven't seen The Godfather in years.
Okay.
I almost feel like I probably should watch that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I've never seen Lawrence of Arabia. I've never seen, I've actually never seen The Bridge on River Kwai.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. So, and I know a few of these are on, like, Netflix or Hulu or whatever. Right. So.
But you're the kind of guy who also wouldn't mind the challenge of tracking some of the harder-to-find ones down.
Exactly. Like, okay. I'm a little embarrassed to admit this.
Okay.
Kind of like how you'd never
it
seen...
It happens to all men at
Alien.
Point. Oh, yes.
I've never seen Raging Bull.
Me either.
Yeah.
There's actually a number of movies on this list that I haven't seen. I've never seen any of the Godfather movies.
Oh, really?
Really.
That surprises me.
Yep. I've never seen Titanic, but that's by choice.
Yeah, don't bother.
Yeah. I know how it ends.
Don't bother.
I know how it begins.
Just don't bother. So I think I want to watch some of those.
Yep.
Or even like, you know, the Philadelphia Story. I've never seen that. It stars Katharine Hepburn and Jimmy Stewart. Okay, that can't be bad.
No.
You know, so. And I've never seen Amadeus.
I've heard the song.
I don't, not Rock Me Amadeus. It's not the same thing.
No, it's not.
But I've never seen Amadeus, and that's supposed to be exceptionally popular and... They make plays out of it and on and on and on. And
so you're basically going to – your new goal is to go through the AFI?
Well, just more along the lines of like maybe watch some older movies I've never seen or haven't seen in a long, long, long time. Like, and so that way when I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch a movie this week, I have a plan of attack of what I'm going to watch as opposed to sitting there trying to figure out what I want to watch.
Fair enough.
And there's nothing wrong with watching class. I mean, I hadn't seen The Deer Hunter until I worked at Movie Gallery. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
But Beat him out!
And how many times can you play Russian roulette in one movie for crying out loud? I mean, like, it was excessive.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
I thought you'd gone to bed. I'm looking over at your chicken sitting on the stovetop.
He's talking to his wife, not me.
Yeah. Well, the TV wasn't on. She wasn't watching Friends, so. Oh, you fell asleep. Okay, that makes perfect sense. So, well, you got one more movie.
One more movie.
What was it? Well, what is it?
A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
I really don't want to hear anything about it other than, was it good?
I'm going to say two things.
Yeah.
The first thing is that this was – you remember last time I told you this whole big, long story about how my mother hadn't been to the movies since Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
And she went to Downton Abbey.
Yes.
I mentioned going to see this movie, and she's like, yes. So yeah. We went on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, you told me, like, you as a family went and saw this movie.
Yeah. Very worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
It's not a documentary.
No.
It plays out – it's based on a real story.
Yep.
It plays out in the 90s, I believe. And it's kind of over a couple of days, weeks.
Yep.
It's really good. I got a lot of good feels from it.
Yep.
Because it's Mr. Rogers.
Oh, so, yeah.
Of course.
Tom Hanks was a good Mr. Rogers.
Well, you know, when he first came on the screen, the opening scene is him doing Rogers' opening scene. You know,
it's the
music and the panning across the little neighborhood. You know, the miniatures for the neighborhood, they use those a lot in the movie.
Nice.
Not just for the neighborhood, but like anytime they go to a different city, they show that city and like.
Oh, that's cool.
It's great. And the airplane takes off and it's like. But anyway. So when he first came on the scene and he was doing the cardigan and the shoes and everything, I was like, boy, he's not Mr. Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
He's Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
He's not Mr. Rogers. By the end of the movie, I'm like, you know what? He's Mr. Rogers. despite the fact that there is a mid-credit PS that is an actual clip from Fred Rogers, you know, doing one of his episodes. It was so good. Like, having seen both of the recent documentaries.
Yeah.
And now seeing this, it was just so good. Like, you really got to see it.
Oh, I definitely do want to see that.
You got to go see it. There was one really powerful moment. I'm not going to tell you what it was.
Good.
But, like, I had made plans before my vacation with Kelly. And she was like, oh, what do you want to do? And I said, well, we could go see a movie. I said, here are three that I'd like to see, you know, that are in. I said, I want to see Knives Out.
Yep.
Waterville is showing Jojo Rabbit, which I'd really like to see.
Oh, nice.
And A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And she's like, well, I can't go see that because my husband already said that he wants to go see it. I'm like, fine. So later on, we talked. You know, she messaged me and she's like, oh, did you end up seeing it? And I said, yeah. She goes, what'd you think? And she was like, she didn't have Mr. Rogers growing up, so it didn't mean as much to her. But even she said the scene that I'm talking about, she was like, that scene was so powerful and so amazing. She goes, I didn't even realize until halfway through what they were doing. And I had the same reaction.
Like, oh, nice.
Like, as the scene's going on, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, it was almost brutal, but it was good. So, definitely. Hard sell. If you like Mr. Rogers,
yeah.
If you just need some good in your life, you know, if you're legit, if you're at a point where you're like, you know, the world sucks, politics, hurricanes, typhoons, you know, if you need some positivity, go check out this movie. I promise.
You're special by just being you.
Exactly. Exactly. And he says that in the movie. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So news and trailers?
Yeah, I don't have any trailers.
Really? I've got three.
What you got?
I saw the extended full trailer for Onward, the next Disney movie that's coming out, the animated one. It's the one with the fairy tale creatures. You know, they used to live in their own world. Now they live in our world.
Oh,
and
sure.
It's got Star-Lord and Spider-Man as brothers.
Yes,
that are going to go on an adventure. Well, it turns out their dad's dead.
Okay.
And they found a way to use magic, even though magic doesn't exist in this world anymore. They found a way to use magic through one of his old spell books. And so they go to bring him back to life, but they get interrupted halfway through. So they bring his bottom half back to life. So they've just got legs, but it's their dad. And they found out that if they go to this certain place by sundown the next day, then they can complete the spell and bring him back to life. But, you know, in the meantime, they've got to get there and bring
his legs.
Yeah. Yeah. His sentient legs. They're not just like legs that lay there. They actually walk around and stuff. So, yeah. Looks cute. It looks like a Disney movie, and it's probably going to be very touching. And, you know, they're brothers. I saw the preview for the live-action Mulan. I'm going to go see this. It looks phenomenal.
Okay.
I love the original Mulan. This is not recreating the animated movie, because it's all based on a real story, of course. But this is live-action, and it looks great. And I saw, this is going to sound blasphemous, but I got to say it. I saw and actually really liked the looks of the updated trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog. Now that they fixed the way he looks.
I saw stills and I was like, oh, he looks like Sonic now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw the trailer and it looks really good. Like, it's not Avengers Endgame level good, but it's going to be fun. And I hate saying that, but I'll give them credit where credit is due. It looks like they did a pretty good Sonic movie.
Just throwing this out there real quick.
Yeah.
The Mulan movie, Donnie Yen is in it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Jet Li is in it.
Yeah.
Jason Scott Lee is in it. For those who don't know Jason Scott Lee, well, he played Bruce Lee in Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Yeah.
And he was also...
Because his son?
No, he's not. Oh. His son was named Jason Lee, and he's dead.
Oh, that's right.
He died
in The Crow.
No, yeah, he died filming The Crow.
Yep.
Yeah, much like his dad accidentally killed a guy filming a movie with a blank and a gun.
Yep.
But yeah, no. So yeah, Jason Scott Lee. Yeah, I played, and he was also in. He was in a very underappreciated film that I enjoy. Time Cop 2.
See, I love the first one. I don't think I ever watched the second one.
I own it on DVD. It's actually very, very good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Quite surprising just how good it is.
Nice.
Yeah. So just with the cast, I actually would watch Mulan too, because you know...
Did you see the animated one?
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
This one looks... I mean, this has echoes of like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Like, oh, it looks very authentic.
I love that movie.
Nobody can accuse them of whitewashing or anything like that. Like, this is all Asian cast, and it looks good. I don't think they're going to have Mushu in this.
That'd be fine by me.
Yeah.
I did see one trailer.
Oh, okay.
It was a TV show, and it was more like, what the fuck is this?
Okay.
So apparently they're rebooting Party of Five.
Why?
Because we're going to update the motherfucker, that's why. So, I don't know what channel it's on. Probably Fox. I don't know. But it comes out in January of 2020, and there's 10 episodes.
Okay.
And it originally ran on Fox from 94 to 2000. And it was about the five siblings dealing with their parents' tragic death in a car crash when they were killed by a drunk driver.
Right, right, right.
This is the Acosta children who live in San Francisco or California, somewhere in California. And it's the five Acosta children, again, from like adult to infant.
Yeah.
Newborn baby who have to deal with their parents being deported back to Mexico.
Oh, ooh. Maybe a little too soon. A
little too hot button topic, I think, really.
Yeah. Oh,
So it's the five siblings dealing with their parents being gone and you know, but it's their parents are still alive, so they could probably talk to them via Skype or something.
Mm.
They're just in Mexico because they got deported back to Mexico.
Gotcha.
I don't think I'm going to watch it.
No.
It's just with all these other reboots. Like, I didn't realize Mad About You came back.
Yeah. The Spectrum original. With the original actors.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. There's a new show that starts this week, by the way, speaking of previews.
Oh, I watched one more movie, but go ahead.
There's a new show, Dennis Leary and Elizabeth Perkins. Mm-hmm. It's called The Moody's Christmas. Dan Moody comes home to have Christmas with his dysfunctional family. It's a limited 6-episode series.
On what?
Fox.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
Dennis Leary, comedy, dysfunctional, yeah. It all works.
Did you ever see The Ref?
Yes, it was fantastic.
And that took place around Christmas time. Exactly. I can see this being the same way. So I'm hoping that it's good. But yeah, I'll check it out.
Kate and I watched Instant Family.
Oh, it's also got Jay Baruchel. Oh, how was that?
It was good.
Was it?
Yeah. It's kind of based on actual true events. The guy that wrote the movie wrote it based on kind of his life. It's this guy and his wife, and they foster three Latino kids, ages, I think, was 7 to 15 or 6 to 15 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Siblings.
Okay.
It was a good movie. Touching, you know?
Okay. Hey, you fixed your clock.
It's on Hulu. Yeah, I fixed it last week.
I mean, it's kind still of. About 6 minutes, 7 minutes short.
Oh, okay, the battery must be dying, because okay. that was on time last week when I fixed it. So the battery must be dying. I have to put a new battery in it then. Yeah.
Any news?
Nope. Just that Party of Five.
Mystery Science Theater 3000 was canceled on Netflix.
No surprise.
Yeah. And then I found this very...
Not for nothing. I'm kind of glad that if I was going to miss one of the two shows in Portland, it was the second one, not the first one.
Yeah.
Based on what you said.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot cheesier. But it felt like the original.
Fair enough, yeah.
So I found this very interesting. It was an article I read today. The new Harley Quinn show is out on the DC Universe. And it's an animated show. Kaley Cuoco is the voice of Harley Quinn.
Huh.
And Lake Bell is the voice of Poison Ivy.
Okay.
And it is a hard R-rated show.
Really?
And the article was talking about how Kaylee and Lake never record together. They go into the recording booth separately. They're never, like, doing their lines together. So, but apparently they fight a lot because it's a hard R, but that means that there is an upper limit on how many F-bombs they can drop in one episode.
Yeah.
So the two of them are constantly fighting to see whether they can get more F-bombs than the other one.
Well,
I like that. How long
are the episodes?
I think they're only like half an hour each.
Okay, see, because what pissed me off about the Constantine show on the CW app there, CW yep. Seed, was the fact that the episodes were like 7 minutes.
Oh, no. I'll look this up. But I saw a preview for tonight. Apparently, they're going to have the first episode on TBS this coming Sunday at 11 o'clock after Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. And there's 6 episodes so far. They're releasing one at a time.
Which, I don't have a problem with that anymore.
Right. And I can't see how long it is. Oh, well. Alan Tudyk is the Joker.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't get Mark Hamill because he's still alive and well.
Right.
But I do love Alan Tudyk, so I'm not complaining.
Diedrich Bader is Batman. Jim Rash is the Riddler.
See, that's the thing. Diedrich Bader has played Batman in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Christopher Maloney is James Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Phil LaMarr is the banker. Seems like a waste of his talent, but okay. J.B. Smoove is Frank the Plant. Anyway, I think it's cool that they can have a show like this that's animated, but it's meant for grown-ups.
Yep.
And it's not going to get me to subscribe to the DC Universe, but it's still something that I will try to check out at some point.
Oh, you said it's on the DC Universe.
Yeah.
I heard CW app.
No.
Oh.
DC Universe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, DC Universe. That's why it's hard R-rated.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, now we're going to talk about Mr. Robot and Mandalorian. So if you want to hear about those wonderful shows, please check us out later.
That's right. 5, 4. Okay. So,
Mr. Robot.
Mr.
Mandalorian. I don't know. This week was a little tough. Mr. Robot was excellent.
Mr. Robot was phenomenal.
Yeah, it really. Episode 9, Conflict.
409.
Season 4, Episode 9, Conflict.
Because remember, each episode this season is based on a real era message.
Yes.
So 409 is Conflict.
I don't know how where they're going to go from here.
They don't have many episodes left. They have four.
I know, but this seems like Endgame episode.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, especially the very last scene.
Oh, yeah.
With all the pounding on the door and the FBI coming in and then hearing the gunshots ring out.
Essentially, from episode one, this is all about bringing down the Dark Army and White Rose.
Yeah.
And they did it in this episode.
Yeah. Well, pretty much.
Well, okay. So, all right. I love this because it opens up with Mr. Robot walking into the Darlene's like, where the fuck have you been? And Mr. Robot walks in and you get the Christian Slater voiceover. Yeah, I know you weren't expecting me.
And he basically is like, you don't get an error code like that and just walk away from it.
Yeah. Oh, and he says like, but I'm here for Elliot just like you are.
Yep.
I loved it.
God, I love that.
And we see Mr. Robot the whole episode. And I love it when he turns around.
Almost the whole episode.
Well, I love it when Darlene's and him, they're kind of arguing. And he says, look, sweetheart, I don't have time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she stops and spins him around and looks at him and goes, why are you here?
Yeah.
I loved it.
Fucking loved that.
I loved it. And then later on when Elliot was back, she just goes, glad you came back.
Yep.
It was amazing. We get the meeting. Actually, it opens with the meeting in the brain.
Yes.
Mr. Robot, you know, is entering like a hallway, goes into a boardroom, and there is...
Which we've seen that boardroom before with the mother and the son.
With Magda and young Elliot.
Yep.
And essentially, they're just talking about, well, where is he? Why didn't you bring him?
He hasn't woken up.
And she's like, well, he hasn't woken up in years. We need to get up. And he's like, no, he has.
Because, he talked to Darlene last year.
Yeah, Darlene talked to one of us. Talked to Elliot, and it wasn't one of us.
Right.
So we still don't know who this mystery person is.
Because Magda's saying, if he doesn't wake up soon, we might lose him forever.
Yeah. Is it actually Elliot?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, the real Elliot. Like, maybe this version of Elliot that we're seeing is another persona.
Yeah. I don't know. Then he goes and meets with Darlene, and
basically they're set up in a hotel across from the meeting place for the Deus Group.
Yes.
Except it turns out that the Deus Group's meeting is at a different building now because White Rose doesn't trust Philip. He basically says, you know what? You told me you were retiring, and the very next day Elliot disappears. No.
Yeah.
No. And you wanted to have a meeting on Christmas? No. I see through your charade. It's at a different building. I'm holding you hostage here. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, and we're going to take you back to your room and give you a hot shot and kill you.
Yeah, he tells
don't
him
worry.
Exactly
It'll
how
look
it works.
Like you just died in your sleep from heart failure.
Yeah. Yeah. So he tells him, we will be murdering you.
Yeah.
So Elliot sends Darlene over to the new meeting. They basically had Terrell stuff because, you know, White Rose like, well, I don't know where Terrell is because he's supposed to be the guest of honor.
Well, no. White Rose says, I'm sure Terrell's over there now wowing them and da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
And that's when, you know, Richard's just like, ha, 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 he's not over there. We have no idea where he is. He could be dead for all we know.
He did say he wanted to take in the American Southwest.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing is, Terrell wandered off into the woods to die on purpose because he didn't want them to find him.
And he didn't want Elliot had his phone.
Yep.
So Darlene uses the phone, finds out where the meeting is. She's like, come on, we got to go, we got to go. And he's like, no. It's too heavily armed. There's a reason why. So he's thinking White Rose has to be there.
Yes.
So Darlene heads to the other location, which she's not getting in.
Nope.
It's the even the alleyway, because they show you this whole elaborate scene of the people walking around inside and the girl putting on her coat and going down the stairs and going outside to have a smoke. You're like, oh, she's getting in the back way, or she's going to pretend to be this girl or something. Like, you have all these assumptions. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, rips a cigarette out of her mouth and goes, that door's closed. You got to get back inside now. Right. You look, it's shut down.
Yep. The whole place is shut down.
Yeah. That was a good little misdirect.
Yes. It was great.
I don't think we can do this episode justice.
I don't either.
There's so much tension. It is cold in here, isn't it?
It is a little cold, yeah.
There's so much tension in this episode. There's so much, like, suspense, and the dialogue is amazing. And you have to watch this episode to appreciate it.
I haven't felt tension like that since the silent episode.
Oh, my God. The silent episode was so
– even the two Vera episodes were tense in their own way, but it was more of a controlled tense. This was like – It was like the best parts of a heist movie. Like, are they going to get it or are they not going to get it, you know? And I got to tell you, it was super fun reading the Wired article where – because they're doing it every episode now where they hand it off to journalists and hackers.
I was hoping you would bring that up to see if you read that.
I did. And it was so much fun reading their stuff because they basically verified almost everything in the episode except for they were talking about the heist itself and stealing the money. And they were like, there's so many things that are wrong with this, because they were like, that amount of money, if you were trying to put it into another bank, would have tripped alarms. It would have, you know – people would have been notified of that. Also, if they tried to do it in Bitcoin, they were like, Bitcoin only works this way and this way, and it's much slower than actually transferring money, so that would have taken them forever. It wouldn't have been as fast. I mean, they really broke it down and said that that was the only real flaw that they had, but everything else, like spoofing the cell tower and by phishing all of them, and they're like, yeah, that's exactly what I would have done. Or when she set up the RFID catcher so that when he was using the remote to raise and lower the thing and she caught the signal, they were like, yep, absolutely. They were like, the number of Raspberry Pis that were used in this episode were awesome. They were doing this, and it was all right, except for the actual currency transfer.
See, to me, what was so cool was, all right, so essentially what happens in this episode is there's a lot of great dialogue between White Rose and Richard. And then there's some amazing dialogue between Mr. Robot and White Rose. And that's what lures Elliot back. And then Elliot
Which
and White
was a great
Rose,
scene.
Elliot and White Rose have some amazing dialogue as well. And then when you think White Rose has Elliot on the hook and then you realize he doesn't. You almost cheer for Elliot that
right
he
now.
Didn't fall for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Because I assumed he was going to fall for it.
He even had the tear in his eye.
Yeah.
But when he says, I don't need help, you do. And then hangs up on it. Woo!
And we see that Darlene used F-Society hack video release.
She doxed everybody.
Yeah.
She doxed all the people on there, not just to give out their info, but to draw people down there to protest, because I know that this takes place in 2016, but still, people would be drawn to that if they found out,
hell yeah.
The richest of the rich who are, you know,
manipulating
making money on
everything
your backs. And,
and the people come, and then.
Light snow starting in 4 minutes.
I just looked outside a couple minutes ago. Nothing.
We're not going to work tomorrow.
When everyone comes outside and she's now able to hack into everyone's accounts, get their phone numbers, get their account information, yada, yada, yada. And then they get White Roses, and then they steal all the money. I mean, it's a great scene. I love the scene with White Rose and Richard outside where Richard's just like, where Price is just like, you had me believing that Angela was alive, but I know she wasn't because I heard your men drag her dead body away.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I love when he said that line to him earlier about, you know, when your best people either quit on you or shoot themselves in the head, that's just poor management.
He gets very arrogant.
But here's the thing. He was arrogant inside there because he knew he was being held hostage and he had to remain calm, but he also had to, try to keep an upper hand. When he gets outside, he knows White Rose already told him, we're marching you to your death.
Yeah.
We're taking you to your place. So he knows that he has to do something, and his entire plan hinges on, I'm going to die one way or another. I'm taking him down with me. So he provokes him enough to get White Rose to shoot him in broad, well, broad
night, in public. But in everyone public. Saw it.
Yep.
That's the thing.
Which is why the FBI came beaten down.
And that the last scene is White Rose with his white gown that we learned about earlier this season.
Yep.
Putting on his makeup. You hear him pounding the door. They breach the door. There's a hell of gunfire going on downstairs.
And then credits.
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome. But
fucking love this show.
There's still like 4 episodes left.
Yep.
And it's almost just like, what the fuck are they going to do next?
Right.
I mean, I don't. This isn't a show that you can binge, I don't think.
It's not starting in 15 minutes.
It would just be too much.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I've thought about going back and rewatching it, but even after knowing everything, even the fact that I have seen all the episodes up to now, I think that it would still be way too heavy to try to binge it from the beginning.
Yeah. No, it would be. It would be. It's just too much going on. I mean, you could go back and watch it from the beginning, slowly, but I'd almost like to go back to watch the first seasons again, only because there's so much that's happened since those episodes.
They're on Amazon Prime.
Well, yeah. Okay, fair enough. And, you know, it was 4 years ago, and all those actors have aged so much, if you will. Yeah, it just...
Yeah. Go back and see Shayna?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was good shit. It's good shit this year, that's for sure.
It sure is. So now I'm interested. The Mandalorian, you're saying it was rough?
No. What I was saying, well, I want to talk to the Mandalorian last because I love it so much. Mm. However, Mr. Robot was so good. It's rough to choose which one was better.
I gotcha. I thought you were saying that the Mandalorian
which
was
one should main event the show, essentially. That's what I mean. It's a rough choice, but I'm going to go with the Mandalorian.
Okay.
So does everybody in the world love Baby Yoda?
We got 2 new memes out of this. One of them is Baby Yoda playing with the radio.
Yeah.
In the beginning, and the other one is that Baby Yoda holding the soup bowl, which has become the new Kermit sipping tea.
Oh.
So anyway, he's just like, yep, I've taken over now.
It's hilarious. Like, he's like, don't touch that. Just reaches over and pushes the button. So he moves the, you know, like.
He puts him on his lap, and he kind of coos a little bit. Yeah. He's like, oh.
And then, all right, I'm going to go they land on this planet. There's no space dock. There's no XYZ.
It's a backwoods planet.
This would be a safe, middle of nowhere planet for us. Stay here. You stay here. I'm going to go check things. I'm going to come back. Don't leave the ship. Just stay here. Don't touch anything. Like, this whole big thing. And then the door lowers. And when it lowers, you find, because he's so short, you don't see him till like the very end of the door lowering. He's just standing there. And he just looks and goes, fine.
And then he walks.
Yeah.
Like, watching him stumble on was fucking adorable.
Yeah, it was.
Jesus Christ.
And they go into the restaurant, he gets him some bone broth, and then how long's she been here? Because she sees another bounty hunter. Mm-hmm. They go inside and they
Gina Carano.
Yep, Gina Carano. They have a fight, and they got
cool
each other.
Cool fight.
Yeah, oh, it was a good fight.
She threw a lot of wrestling moves in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they got their guns pointed at each other, the blasters pointed at each other, and like you said.
Yeah, he's just sipping his soup. Yep. Don't mind me.
And there seemed to be an extended period of time that passed in this episode.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. Like, it felt like it was supposed to be days or
it almost seems like it was maybe even a month or two. It seemed like a very significant amount of time. Because, and what happened was, is they're going to leave the planet because she attacked him because she thought, oh, he must have a fob on her, Gina Carano, that is.
Yep.
And then, because she used to be a rebel shock trooper turned mercenary.
Which is cool. She was a good guy.
Yeah. So she's been hiding out there. She's like, well, I'm hiding out here. You can't.
Right.
So like, I guess this planet's taken.
Yeah.
And then he takes a job from those people because we see at the beginning those people that are attacked by, I don't know, the Raiders, I guess. I don't know what their race is. But they have an AT-ST, which you knew that. I thought they might have had an AT-AT or something based on the how the noises and everything that we heard at the beginning. Of course, we find out later it's an AT-ST, but still. Yeah, so he goes, meets a girl, meets a nice woman. You know, they talk about him removing his helmet, which he does, like, once a day, but no one can be around.
Right, she's like, when was the last time you removed that? He goes, yesterday.
Yeah.
She's like, when somebody was around. He's like, no, because then I'm not allowed to put it back on.
Exactly. They ask them, can you help us? They go investigate. And I love when they come back. Like, they investigate. Like, you see the something big knock those branches out from way up there. They see the big footprints. It's like, they have an AT-ST. And then it cuts to, you guys got to move. Yeah, you can't live here anymore.
Like, no, you're done.
Yeah.
Get out. You're done.
And she's like, great bedside manner. Oh, you want to try? Sure.
One of the, I know you didn't. I don't think you watched any of it, but I kept looking at the main guy in the village, you know, one of the two dorks that showed up in the boat and like was like, oh, you know, we can pay you. I was like, he looks familiar from something.
Yeah.
And he played Maiwani in Tacoma FD, you know, that comic
with
firefighters.
Yeah.
He was the dork that everybody picked on. Now he's a dork here, so.
Fair enough. So they eventually... They have the whole sequence where they train the villagers to fight back because the villagers want to make a stand because these fish, these are our crops. You know, these are centuries, have been planted for centuries. They're not anyplace else. We can't leave this here. So of course they fight the raiders and they fight the AT-ST, and of course they win, which is awesome. And then the Mandalorians are going to leave Baby Yoda there. Because he'll be safe.
Yeah. He's like, he deserves to be a kid because all the kids love him and he gets to play around with them.
Yep.
Like, you know, they're kicking the balls and stuff. And he's just like, oh, I'll wander over here and I'll eat this frog. And everyone goes, ew. So he spits it out.
Oh, yeah. I like Gina Carano's character, Cara Dune, when she's just like, so, let me get this straight. You could just take the helmet off. And stay here with the kid and that fine woman that wants to be with you.
The fine widow.
Fine widow that wants to be with you. But instead, you just want to kind of like roam around the galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. He seems like he actually considers it for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, when the woman tries to take his helmet. And then he's like, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't
belong.
Then,
of course, while he's off talking to her, because she already says, I'll protect him like he's my own.
Yep.
You know, Baby Yoda. Then you hear the gunshot. Because we see a bounty hunter show up, and he's got a bead on the Mandalorian, and then he's got a bead
looks like
on
a Tusken Raider.
He did. And then Kara shoots him from behind. Who cares?
Yeah.
So they leave because they're not going to be safe. But it seems like she's going to stick around there for a while, protect him.
Yep.
So this feels a lot like this episode felt a lot like an episode of Hercules: The Legendary Journeys.
Oh yeah, it did.
Where he kind of rolls in the town. Helps the local villagers, you know, from the big monster, trains them to fight. They win the battle, and now he heads off into the, you know, onto his next journey.
Even though they're all connected, each episode feels like an individual mini story. Like, it's not like, say, Stumptown. Stumptown is really good, but it feels like it's just one continuation of the same story.
Yeah.
This one, they almost feel like they could be individual, like, Golden Kids books.
Yep.
You know? The Mandalorian rescues the baby. And that's a whole book in and of itself. You know, the Mandalorian saves the villagers. That's a whole book in and of itself.
I mean, think about it. Chapter 1, no name for it.
Yep.
It's the dead pilot. Chapter 2, the child.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 3, the sin.
Yep.
Chapter 4, sanctuary. I mean...
Yep.
I hate that there's only 4 more episodes. I hate that we're halfway through already.
I know.
It sucks. But at the same time, we are only, 3 weeks out from episode 9? So now we have to make the decision, do I want to watch all the Star Wars movies between now and then?
Mm. Well, you could. They're all on Disney Plus.
I have access. Not that I didn't have access before. I did last night. I did, when I tried to watch Mr. Robot live, and the audio was all out of sync, and it was terrible. I just wasn't even going to try to watch it because it would have, based on the amazing dialogue and tense scenes, it would have been ruined.
Oh, God, yeah.
It wasn't like a half a second off. I mean, it was like 2 or 3 seconds
like
off.
Like really noticeable.
Yeah. So I went and watched that one. I went and watched the very ending of Rogue One.
Okay. Just the ending?
Just the ending. It was late.
Did you feel like crying or something? Were you like... I need to punch myself in the balls.
No. I didn't watch where Rey dies. I watched right after that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that Rey dies.
You said Rogue One.
Yeah. Not Rey. He's not in. Not Rey.
Jin.
Jin, sorry. Where Jin dies.
I'm like, wait a minute. Sorry. We're talking about the same thing
Sorry. Where Jin dies. And then I didn't watch that. I got to that after I watched the cloud vaporize them. I hit play. And then it's the whole part where it's Darth Vader. And he boards the ship. And he kills the fuck out of people.
Yes.
Yeah. I watched that scene. That was awesome. Just watched that one scene. Oh, of course, you know, Leia. It's hope. And then credits.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so that's it for me.
That's it for me as well.
Perfect. I'm Superstar Mel on the Twitter.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And if you have any movie suggestions, let me know. Because I really do want
to in the neighborhood.
I really do want to have, well, that are like
Shazam.
Okay. Other than like older movies, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I really want to have a plan of attack. Like I'm watching this on Saturday.
Without a plan, there could be no attack. Without an attack, no victory. What's that from?
All I can think of is Best of the Best. I know it's not that.
Nope.
What is it from?
It's from One Crazy Summer. Do you remember that movie?
No.
Better Off Dead?
Yep.
Yep. One Crazy Summer was by the same guy in the same kind of universe. Jesus, John Cusack, Demi Moore.
Bobcat Goldthwait. I've never seen this
movie. You've never seen One Crazy Summer?
No.
Holy God, Mike. You need to see One Crazy Summer.
Do you own this film?
I must own it somewhere. Holy crap, Mike. I can't believe you've never seen.
No, I've never even heard of this movie.
Holy shit. I saw that movie like 1,000 times as a kid.
Oh, I love John Cusack. I've pretty much seen everything John Cusack, but I can't even remember. No.
Oh, my God. And, dude, like I said, it was from the same guy who did Better Off Dead. It was, like, made right after that.
I've seen Better Off Dead.
Yeah. Better Off Dead was great. Sorry your mom blew up, Ricky. Curtis Armstrong? Oh, yeah. But that was a line from that. Because Curtis Armstrong's character is named Ak-Ak.
Rent on Prime Video for $2.99.
Mm, it's worth it.
Cover box looks like shit.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. It was. Oh, no, that's not the original cover box. No, the original cover box looked like this. Where is it? That was the original cover box.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah. Dude, oh my God, there's so much good in this movie. You need to watch One Crazy Summer.
Okay, hold on. So I looked up One Crazy Summer on Amazon.
Yeah.
Click movies and TV.
Yeah.
Okay. It brings up Prime Video, then it brings up DVD, and then One Crazy Summer DVD, no image available. And then Summer City and Crazy Streets DVD 2-pack with Mel Gibson and looks like one of the Baldwins and everything. Two different movies. Then it brings up Japanese adult content, pixelated, exposed, Mania Circle, Kida, Kanto Branch, Summer Crazy Camp, 100, question mark, Heartspring Charter, Exposed Orgy Banquet, Charismatic Housewife Yuri's Appearing Adventure. And look at that cover box on Amazon. That girl's full on naked with a bush.
Wow.
Yeah. And then right below that, High School Summer Romance Video Collection. Which includes The Outsiders, One Crazy Summer, and A Walk to Remember. Oh, shit! Look what's below that! More Japanese content.
Jesus!
Japanese adult content. Pixelated Magic Mirror. No Summer Vacation coming soon. High school girls who grew up with the countryside have crazy climax experience with their first toy.
Wow. Okay. That is not what I wanted you to watch.
Hilarious. All right, that's it. Thanks.
Talk to you later.